Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. This is actually one of my favorite scriptures. Touched my heart so many times. Been a blessing to me in some tough times. And I'm going to use it as a text. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'll be preaching about the whole chapter. But look at verse 25. Genesis 18:25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for all the blessings that you've given to us and how rich you've made us in you. We know to have you for our Father and our Savior is the greatest blessing of life. I ask, Father, that you would touch every heart and life that's here today. If there's a soul, the sound of my voice, that's lost on the road to hell, I pray, Lord, that they will repent of their sins and take you as their Savior. And this day would be the day they change their life. I pray, Father, you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and that you would take your word and this story and bless it to the hearts of everyone here. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's several verses right here in this one chapter, this 18th chapter, that are just, they're mind-boggling. Abraham didn't have a Bible. You got a Bible. Half of you got a Bible, you don't read it, but you got a Bible anyway. You could read it. You ought to read it.
Amen.
You ought to know it like the back of your hand. But you know what the score of the Spurs is more than you know what the Bible is. Yeah, I like the Spurs. I hope they win. I hope they beat Shaq all to pieces. But that's not the most important thing. There's some things more important. Now, we've got a story here. It's a great story about a man by the name of Abraham and a visit God makes to his house. Abraham didn't have a Bible. There was no book of Genesis for Abraham. There were no Ten Commandments for Abraham. Abraham didn't have a Sunday school teacher or a Sunday school book with a bunch of pictures in it to tell him some of the great Bible stories, the stories of faith of people gone past. But Abraham had faith. The Bible tells us he had faith. And you can get a picture of the faith of Abraham just from this chapter right here. Over in verse 14, he's come down to visit, and as he visits, he's talking to Abraham, and he said, Sarah, who is 90 years old, he says, I'm going to visit you, and Sarah, in the time of life, is going to have a son. And Abraham, he's 100. He says, whoa. And Sarah, she says, oh, no way, back in the tent. She's hearing me and said, after all this time here, I'm 90 years old, I'm going to have a child. Why, she laughs. And it's the Lord that tells Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, there's a point of faith. The number one thing is he believes in God. He believes in God. There's some people that are so foolish as not to believe in God. I don't know how anybody, any intelligent mind could say, as you look at this world, look at the diversity that's here, look at the life that's here, there's no God. To me, that's very foolish. It doesn't even make sense. If I didn't believe this Bible, if I didn't believe in Jesus Christ, if I didn't believe anything about salvation, if I didn't believe in a heaven or hell, I'd have to believe there was a God that created this world with all its diversity and all its beauty and all its grandeur. He said, first of all, he believed there was a God, and the second thing, he believed that God could do anything. Now, how big is your faith? He believed that God could do anything. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, take an old man and an old woman and give them a child. He can do that. Anything too hard for the Lord? No. But not anything too hard for your Lord.
That's right.
And then you come to this verse 25. You see, God has come down to visit Abraham and let him know what he's going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Sodom, we get the term sodomy from Sodom. It's a type of sexual practice they practiced in Sodom. And we have a lot of it today. We're sort of trying to make it legal today. Not only legal, but approved and a lifestyle that's acceptable. But it wasn't acceptable to God in that day, and it isn't acceptable to God to this day. But the Bible says, and God tells Abraham while he's visiting with him, he said, the cry of Sodom has come up. Now let me tell you, when you got sin running loose, there are going to be people crying. You know what sin does? Sin hurts people. You can't just sin by yourself and not hurt anybody else. A lot of people try it. A lot of people think they can. I can do what I want to with my own body, with my own mind, with my own money, my own things. But that's not true. You get into what this Bible calls sin, you're going to hurt somebody else around you. You're going to hurt your mother and your father. You're going to hurt your son or your daughter. You're going to hurt your husband or your wife. You're going to hurt your church. You're going to hurt your town. You're going to hurt your nation. Sin always causes a lot of crying. And the Bible says the cry of Sodom has come up before the Lord. Now, there's a lot of wickedness all over the world. There must have been something awful bad in Sodom for God to say, I'm going to go down and visit that place. At any rate, he lets Abraham know, I'm going to Sodom. And Abraham, in his prayer, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute, but Abraham, in his prayer, uses the righteousness of God in his praying. As he's praying to the Lord, he says this statement, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now that's the third statement of faith of Abraham in this chapter. Number one, there is a God. He believes in God. Number two, that God can do anything. Not anything he can't do. But what will God do? He will do right. Now, I rebuilt my faith on that years and years and years ago. After I was saved, I got very discouraged, got whipped and got down. And that verse right there, I began to look at what Abraham had said right there in that verse. You know what I believe? I believe there is a God. I believe his name is Jesus Christ. And I believe he will do right. A lot of people look out at the world and they see little babies born, misformed. They see people die in tragic circumstances. They see sin and the results of sin. And they say, there must not be a God. Or maybe God is evil. Maybe God is bad. And you couldn't do anything about it if God were bad. You ever thought about that? What if God were the devil? What if God were bad? What could you do about it? You couldn't do anything about it. He's God. But I praise God that in His Word it tells us He's good. Amen. He's good. He hates sin and He hates the pain and the sorrow that comes because of it and the tragedies that are out there. I am thankful for the faith of Abraham that there is a God, that God can do anything, but that God will only do right. Man, I'm telling you, he didn't have a Bible. Some of you don't have that clear of faith and you got a Bible in your hand. Tremendous, tremendous statement. I think about this story, and it's a tremendous story, and I think about Abraham as a man, and I want to call him a praying man, because that's what this story is about, the prayer of Abraham. What an example for us to pray. First of all, this praying man knew God. God came visit him, sat down in his house. Sat down and had a meal and fellowship with him. God walked into the tent of Abraham. He knew God. I'll tell you something else. He knew the specific will of God for Sodom. Think about that. God walked down there and said, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do in Sodom. Do you know the specific will of God on any area? Oh yeah, you know it in quite a few areas. Abraham knew God. He sat down with God. He knew the specific will of God for Sodom. He's going to go down there and he's going to examine the place. And Abraham knew what was there as well as God did. And so he knew the destruction that was coming upon Sodom. He knew God's specific will. That's what moved him to prayer. He knew God. He knew what God was going to do in Sodom, and he began to pray. Why? He had a loved one in Sodom. He had a loved one in Sodom. You know, this church prayed real strong while we had all these boys over there in Iraq. You know why? It was our boys. It wasn't just American boys. It wasn't just an American war. We had our boys. Our boys were there. Our sons and daughters and grandchildren, and they were there. And so this church was praying, and boy, did God answer our prayers. And I'm thankful for that. Abraham knew where Lot was. Lot had moved his tent over toward Sodom because it looked more prosperous over there. Money's not everything, fellas. I'm telling you what, sometimes it's the wrong thing. Sometimes you make the wrong choice when you go for prosperity and you think, oh, that's going to make it. That's the answer. That's the blessing of God. No, it's not necessarily. You've got a praying man. He knows God. He knows God's will for Sodom. He has a loved one in Sodom. He believes in prayer and he prays. And you know, as I said about this one verse I just read to you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He prays God's character back to God. Now, by the way, that's not a bad way to pray. You could take this chapter and learn how to pray. Some of us really don't know how to pray. We just cry and moan because we don't have a Cadillac, or cry and moan because we don't have a new suit, or cry and moan because my face isn't like somebody else's face. And people are spending thousands of dollars to trying to improve your looks. Go ahead. It won't change your life very much. But here's a man who prays, and he comes to God, and he said, God, if you can find 50 righteous people within the city of Sodom, will you spare it? And God says, yes, I'll spare it. And then Abraham does something, oh, that some of us are almost afraid to do right now. With the whole Bible in our hands. Old Testament, New Testament, the will of God, the love of God, the knowledge of God. And then, look at him pray. He said, Lord, if there lacked 5 of the 50. Now, Lord, don't get mad. Now, Lord, don't get mad. If there lacked 5 of the 50, would you still spare the city? I'll spare it for 45, God said. Oh, I'm but dust and ashes, and I'm talking to the God that spoke the world into existence. If there were only 30 there, would you spare it? And he takes him down to 10 and stops. How far do you think God would have gone? How far do you think God would have gone? I don't know. But old Abraham stopped at 10. He did a pretty good job, really. You talk about a faith and boldness before the Lord. He stops at 10. He figures Lot's family's got to be more than 10. He figures Lot's got to have won somebody in that wicked place to the Lord. Surely 10's enough to save the city. That be far from thee, Lord, because you're right. Because you're good. He didn't have a Bible telling him he was good. That was faith that said he was good. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Listen to me. I base my life on that. God's going to do right. Amen. You say, what about the things you don't understand? I don't understand lots of things. I say things happen that I simply cannot explain. I can't help you. I'm sorry. I just trust God, and God is going to do right.
Amen.
Right will be what will come out of everything that happens. A praying man that prays the righteousness of God back to him, holds him to his word, holds him to his truth, and then he has enough boldness to just keep asking for more and more and more and more. Anybody here that can pray like that? We could. We ought to. We ought to be a praying people. We ought to be praying for something. Amen. We ought to be praying for things to change. We ought to be praying for sinful cities. We ought to be praying for some of our relatives that are in terrible condition. You know, there's another thing I noticed about this chapter. It's about God. There are a lot of people that claim they believe in a God, a super being, created the world and walked off and left it. He's a long ways out there, maybe past the North Star. The one big direction God ever gave you was north. That's in nature, and that's in the book. North. You know where south is because you find north. Sailors sail by that North Star. Out in the midst of that sea, they could find themselves because they could find that one star. God's out there in the north. How big is your God and how far away is He? I want you to notice an interesting thought about this chapter. You know what it tells you about God? He's a God who visits. In this one chapter, we have three visits of God. He visits Abraham. He came down and went to Abraham's house. How about that? A God that's not so far off, He can't see anything or hear anything or know anything or interfere in anything. No, this is a God who visits. He visited Abraham. He gave a blessing to Abraham and his wife. He sat there and listened to Abraham's prayer. He answered his prayer. Four or five times He answered his prayer. Yes, 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 yes. And then He visited Sodom. He not only visited Abraham, He visited Sodom. He walked down to Sodom to see what's going to happen. Read the story. Chapter 19 of Genesis. Interesting story. You might think about that lifestyle to see if it's your lifestyle or if it's all right to have that kind of lifestyle. God didn't think so. He visited Sodom. He saw the wickedness was there, and He pronounced a doom upon that city. But according to His mercy, you see, there were not 10 righteous in the city. But His love of Abraham and His mercy to Abraham, He went to Lot's house, and the angels actually drugged Lot, his wife, and his two daughters, unmarried daughters, out of the city of Sodom before the destruction fell. A God who visits. That's interesting to me. Hey, that's biblical. That's doctrinal. Let me tell you what. God visited Abraham, and God visited Sodom, and God will visit you. He probably already has. He visited me. Oh, I remember the time. I was sitting in a church way back over there. Had about twice as many people as we got in here this morning. And God visited me. He touched my heart. He touched my life. He changed me. I've never been the same since. Just a visit from God. He'll visit you. In fact, He might be visiting you today. He might be coming to knock on your heart's door and say, "Let me in." He might be coming to interfere in your life and say, "I want to change your life, your future, your eternity, even your blessings right here." He's a God who visits. He's not a God that's so far off that you can't find Him. He's so near you can reach out and touch Him right now. In fact, I heard some of what Brother Steve said. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. Well, there's more than two or three in His name this morning. He's here. Maybe you don't see Him. Maybe you don't hear Him. Well, I'll tell you what, there's probably 100 channels of television walking right through this thing right now. Probably another 100 channels of radio. Oh, they're all right here, and you just aren't receiving them. You just aren't receiving them. You don't have your receiver turned on. But they're here. Well, God is here. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You don't have to see Him. In fact, you can't see Him, but you can sense Him, you can feel Him, you can know Him, and He does visit. I think that's an interesting thought. A God who visits. And then His message. You get out in there, and the angels of God walk through Sodom. They go into Lot's house. They tell Lot, this city's doomed. God is going to destroy this city. Now, the message is in chapter 19 and verse 17. It's a very simple little message. Escape for thy life. Escape for thy life. For thy life. And why is he telling him to escape? Why is the message of God escape? Come down to Lot's house. No doubt he had a prosperous house. Lot was doing real well. He became like the mayor of the city. He lives in there. They know his name. They know him. It's a great big city. He's a prosperous man there. But he tells him, escape for thy life. That's the message of God. Escape for thy life. Why? Number one, the city's doomed. That's why. I don't care how nice your house is. I don't care what your prospects are. I don't care what you think tomorrow's going to bring. It ain't going to happen because this city's doomed. By the morning light, this city's going to be nothing but smoke and ashes. There's no safety in Sodom. There is no safety in a city God has damned and doomed. Let me tell you something else. There is no safety with unforgiven sin. Some of you sitting out here and you think you can just live any way you want to and you don't have to answer to anybody about it. You have to answer to God. I may never know a thing about it. Your wife, husband, children, parents may never know a thing about it. You're going to meet God. There's a God who visits, and He can do anything, and He knows everything, and He will do right. And whatever's the right thing to do to you, He'll do it. You got no safety if your sins are unforgiven. If Christ has not paid for your sins, if they have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, there is no safety. There is no hope. There's no safety in self-righteousness. I've been preaching this gospel a long time. I've talked to a lot of people. Well, I don't need that. But now, my neighbor, he really does need for you to come by and preach to him. But me, I'm all right. I don't need that. You know why? Because I'm a good little girl. I remember I had a student teacher. She was a crackerjack too. I loved her. Sweet girl. And I'd witness to her. And I'd tell her, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. No. I'm righteous. Never could get her to be a sinner. Never did. She wasn't a sinner. You know the problem with that? All of you sweet little girls are sinners. And all you hairy-legged boys are sinners too. And all you old men are sinners. And all you old women are sinners. You know what your problem is? Sin. You don't do the will of God naturally. You don't even do the will of God willingly. You naturally sin. You willingly sin. If there's a way to do it wrong, you'll find it. Sin's a problem. And with unconfessed, unforgiven sin, sin out from under the blood of Jesus Christ, you have no hope. There is no safety in self-righteousness. What about religion? Well, that ought to be safety, right? No. The world's full of religion. Most of religion is just as wrong as everything else. Most of the religion is away from the Bible, away from the Word of God, away from the truth. You think religion will save you? You think your baptism's going to save you? Somebody put a little damp cloth on your head when you were 8 days old? You think that's going to save you? Heard a priest one time, he was burying one of my friends, and he said, saved by his baptism, 5 times in that sermon. Saved by his baptism. Saved by his baptism. Saved by his baptism. Saved by his baptism. Saved by baptism. No, he wasn't. And if that's what my friend was trusting, he's in hell today. Baptism's a nice thing. Baptism's a good thing, but baptism doesn't save anybody. It's a picture of a burial. and a resurrection. But that picture is not the reality. In fact, before you ever get baptized, you need to have the reality and be able to make a confession of the reality. I have been born again. I have been forgiven. I have been saved. I have repented of my sins. Christ has forgiven me. I'm saved.
Amen.
Escape for thy life is the message of God. Escape for thy life. That's a very selfish thing to do, but that's the message of God. Escape for thy life. When I got saved, I wasn't thinking about saving my wife or saving my children or saving any of you. I was thinking about me. I am headed for hell. My sins are great. My sins have come up before the Lord. And when the Lord visited me, He didn't let me off the hook. I saw myself as a very, very wicked young man who needed a Savior. The message of God is escape for thy life. Why? There's no safety in religion. You know what I hear a lot of people say, have for years? I'm going to do that one day. Now, I believe what you're saying, preacher. I'm just not ready now. I'm going to do that. Somebody I loved very much told me, I'm going to do that before I die. Never did it. Lived to be an old man and died without it. You know something? There's no safety in waiting. What if Lot had decided, look, fellows, I'm not going with you tonight. It's dark. I'm tired. I worked too hard on the church building yesterday. And I'm not getting up and going. Some of you felt that way this morning. I know. If Lot would have done that, Lot would have burned up in Sodom. Because God already had it planned when the sun came up, Sodom was going down. There is no safety in waiting. There is no safety in arguing and reasoning and trying to give yourself an excuse. There's no safety in arguing like that. There is no safety in waiting. Lot had the message of God. It was escape for thy life, and it was now. Not tomorrow. Not a week from now. I want to tell you something. I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't deserve to be. But I'm thankful I am.
Amen.
I'm thankful I've got a message. God is a God who loves you. And God is a God who provided for your salvation.
Amen.
He sent Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary in your place. And when He died on that cross, He was made to be sin for me.
Right.
And for you. And that means God can offer you a free salvation that costs you nothing. Paid for in the blood of Jesus Christ. But He offers it to you now. I've read this Bible more than most people that have ever lived. More than most of you. Somebody here might beat me. But in all my reading of it, you know, how many times I read it? God does not give you a chance for tomorrow.
Right.
Nowhere. Tomorrow? Tomorrow never comes. You ever figured that out? That's true. When you wake up tomorrow, it'll be today.
That's true.
You know what you live? You don't live yesterday and you don't live tomorrow. You live today. You know what? I can offer you an opportunity today. God says if you will repent of your sins and believe on Jesus Christ, He'll save your soul and change your life.
Amen.
He'll forgive your sins. He'll make you His son or His daughter and take you to heaven with Him. That's what He says. That's the promise of the Word.
Amen.
It doesn't care whether you're black, you're white, whether you're old or whether you're young, whether you've been real religious or you've been real rebellious. None of that really matters. What matters is how you respond to the appeal of God, or you respond to the invitation of God.
Amen.
And that's what my job is. My job is giving that invitation. I've been doing it a long time. Thank God for the opportunity. You know what? I love what I do. I wished I could get back and work with those guys up on that scaffold out there. But you know, I wouldn't last an hour after that. I'd be in the bed. I'm getting old. Something happened to me. I live too long. But I tell you what, I can still preach.
Amen.
I can still preach.
Amen.
I can still give an invitation.
Amen.
I can still tell you about the love of God. I can still tell you about the salvation that God has wrought. I want you to know God's offering you salvation, and the message of God from this chapter is escape for thy life. Let me tell you something about this world. There's no safety in this world. It's doomed. I can show it to you. It's doomed. It's damned and it's doomed, and you don't have a clue when it's coming. The only opportunity that I can give you, the only opportunity the Bible gives you, is right now. I can't guarantee you that if you'll come back tonight, God will save you.
That's right.
You step out there, put that nice new little Chrysler right on the highway, and a Big Mac truck comes down the road and goes smash. Going to happen. Well over 200,000 people will die today. Today. Well over 200,000. And most of them don't expect it. They're not laying in a hospital bed and a doctor's going to say to them, well, you only have a few minutes to live. No. It's just going to come. Just the way it happens. But you know what I can tell you? There's hope in God.
Amen.
There's no hope in this world. There's no hope in this city. There's no hope in your family. There's no hope in your religion. There's hope in God. That's the only place there's hope. Why would I say that? Because almost 48 years ago, in a trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico, I looked up and asked God to forgive me. I've heard that you will forgive a man if he'll repent of his sins. Man really repent of his sins, you'll forgive him. You'll save his soul and change his life. I believe that, and I'm coming to you. And you know what? He did it. And he's done it for a lot of others since. He's done it for many of you. If you're here without Jesus Christ today, my friend, I give you his invitation. His great invitation word is come.
Amen.
Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. I'll give you rest. That's greater than money. That's greater than success. It's greater than fame. It's greater than anything I know. I thank the Lord for his salvation.
Amen.
God's message was escape for thy life. And God heard the prayer of Abraham, and then God had mercy upon Abraham and drug Lot out. My friend, today is the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. You have no guarantee of 15 minutes from now, but right now is your opportunity. Will you come to Christ? Will you believe him? Will you trust him? Will you have just as much faith as Abraham? He believed in God. He believed God could do anything. And he believed God would do right. Can you believe in a God like that? Jesus Christ will save your soul and change your life if you'll come to him. Let's stand and sing number 249. If you're here without Christ, I want to invite you to come down. Take my hand and say, Brother Kincaid, I want to be saved. Or, Brother Kincaid, the Lord has saved me. Whatever. I'll get somebody to pray with you. That's your invitation. Christian friend, if the Lord's touched your heart in any way, this altar's open as we sing. Sing it out.